This is Amazing Grace Fellowship in Pueblo West, Colorado. We're so glad you're joining us today. Get connected at agfpw.org.
Regret, remorse, pages and pages of life wasted and gone. But your story isn't finished yet. There's still time for edits and cuts. But before you start doing the right things, sometimes you need to stop doing the wrong things. My story, I decided to stop.
All right, how many of you are happy to be here today? Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." It's so nice to have Ed and Beverly home from their little winter escape. Let's welcome them back. We're in week two of a new series titled My Story with the tagline, Living the Story You Want to Tell. And I will tell you that this really kind of was birthed from the Share Your Story evangelistic meeting that we had. We all have a story, don't we? Yeah. And it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, old, young, cool, not cool, church person, non-church person, every single one of us has a story. Hopefully a story to tell. And we're believing that in this first quarter, God will use AGF to be able to tell our story to someone that will encourage them to seek after God and to love God with all their heart. Regret, remorse. How many of you know a little bit about that? I pray that God could help us to live with no regrets as we seek Him today, February 17, 2019. Pages and pages of life wasted and gone, but your story isn't finished yet. Amen. There's still time for edits and cuts. But before you start doing the right thing, sometimes you need to stop doing the wrong things. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I've met with people in my office who with great remorse and strong cries regretted some of their choices and decisions. We preach to you a message today titled Deciding to Stop. And before I share a big idea, I want to share a big question. It's this. If I continue down this path, how will my story end? Ponder that for a moment. Every one of you, let's read the big question together. If I continue down this path, how will my story end? Our big idea for the sermon series is this: the decisions you make today determine the stories you will tell tomorrow. And the question that I ask is, how do we live a story worth telling? There's an answer for us, and it's found in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 2. The Bible says, we're in a race, let us run the race with perseverance. And it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, or looking unto Jesus. Because I've set the Lord always before me, the psalmist said, I shall not be moved. Don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Eyes on, come on, let's say it real loud. Eyes on Jesus. How many of people have stumbled because their eyes were on man? I don't care if he's the pastor. I don't care if he's your priest. I don't care if he's the pope. The Bible says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, or the perfecter of our faith. We can be confident of this morning, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the very end. I think all of us in this place can say, I'm a work in progress. He's still working on me. There's still time for edits and cuts. Aren't you thankful? It's because his mercies are new every morning. It's because of his mercies we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every day. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me, not just every day, but all the days of my life. And like this morning, we can dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Wouldn't it be amazing if we let Jesus help author the story of our lives? If we become so fixed or focused on Jesus with 20/20 vision that we actually became like him in character. When I was just a young believer, we used to sing a chorus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. How many of you remember that song? All I ask is to be like him through all life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like him. We can be like him if we fix our gaze on him. And so in this series, we're asking four questions. Or we're making four decisions. And if you were here with us last week, we made a decision to start doing the right things. How many of you said you actually committed to start something last week? A new discipline. Right? It comes from that root word, disciple. Aren't we his disciples? Then we should be disciplined ones. And last week I preached to you. It's on my refrigerator. It says discipline is choosing. Yeah, there it is right there. I put our big idea. This is on my refrigerator. This is in my office. And you know what? This is even in my home office. And I just want to say it again. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Let that register. Because I'll tell you what, that was for me last week. Aren't you glad the pastor preaches to himself first? Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Well, I know what I want most. I know what God wants me to want, the life he wants me to live. And then it went on to say is this, now is the time to start the small disciplines that can lead to big changes, so that we can have a story worth telling. Disciplines. Oh, we don't like that word. And you know why I put it on my refrigerator? Because it seems like that's where I stumble and fall the most. My goodness. The Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And I've always said, you know, it's portion size and exercise if you want to glorify God in your body and your spirit. And it seems like I always fail on portion size. And I must have passed it on to my son, because at Thanksgiving, or was it Christmas, we made mashed potatoes. And instead of gravy, we used red chili with turkey. Oh, my goodness. And my son, I couldn't believe it. At Christmas time, his plate was mashed potatoes, like 10 servings. So maybe I passed it on to my son. But today we preach to you a message I decided to stop. Today we're going to decide to stop. S-T-O-P spells. And we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament about someone very familiar to all of us, Moses. And I think many of us can relate to Moses, because here was a man who was overwhelmed with so many bringing him their disputes. If you're in this place, and perhaps you're a single parent, you know what being overwhelmed is, I'm certain. Perhaps you're here and you have a draining job and there are a lot of pressures and you just can't get it all done by the end of the day. You know what being overwhelmed means. Perhaps there are those of you who are younger in this place and going to school, full-time students, and you're trying to work 30 hours a week on top of school, and you just feel overwhelmed. We've all understood the overwhelming feeling before, haven't we? Well, Moses felt all those ways when he was so worn out by all the problems that all the people were bringing him, trying to get him to handle all of these different and difficult disputes. There were a lot of people that he led across the Red Sea and out of the land of bondage. And so Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came up to him and said, "You're going to have to stop doing all of this." Let's read Exodus 18, beginning with verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Now, how many of you have parents ever spoke to your children or your grandchildren and told them exactly what Jethro told his son-in-law? "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you." He's overwhelmed. "You cannot handle it alone." Dr. Ray shares with us, "Many hands make the load light." I don't remember where I was this week that I just heard that. Were you with me? Did we hear that somewhere? Was it in the little documentary we were seeing about China or something this week? But I don't remember. But it came out. This, and I said, "Dr. Ray, that's why we need one another. That's why we can't forsake the assemblies of God." I mean, the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Isn't it true? We need each other. I need you. And guess what? I need you. It's like this, you know, remember that? "We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?" Then this side replies louder. "We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?" So this side says, "I need you." This side stands up and says, "No, I need you. Come on, let's get a hold of this. Two are better than one, according to Ecclesiastes 4:12. For there's a better reward for their labor. One shall put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Let's get a hold of this. We need each other. Can't handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And I love this. And may God be with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. And may God be with you, AGF. Be people's representatives before God. Take their disputes to Him. Select God-fearing men." Sounds like Acts chapter number 6. The church was growing. The number of disciples were now being multiplied. And these church leaders, these disciples, couldn't do it alone. "It's not right for you to serve tables. It's not right for you to leave the word of God and serve tables. But you give yourself entirely to the word of God and to prayer. But select capable men among you who are full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit. And appoint them. Delegate this authority. And this is what he was saying. Take their disputes to him. Select God-fearing men over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. You handle tough cases, Moses. Let them handle the rest. You all know this story, right? Exodus 18:22. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. Aren't you thankful that we can help carry one another's burdens? Huh? If you do this as God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. The Bible says Moses stopped doing everything. Today it's time to decide to stop the wrong and to stop the sin and to stop that which is hindering you in order to tell your story. Here's what I want you to do today. We did it last week. I want you to think of one thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing and only one thing that you're doing that's not good in your life. No, it's consuming the refrigerator. My wife gets mad at me because she said, honey, every time you preach about food. God wants me to be more focused on my family, or he wants me to grow spiritually, or he wants me to get my finances under control. Or he wants me to take care of my body. Or to be more involved with my children, or to be more involved with my grandchildren, or to do something that will make a difference in this world. Now, here's the application question. We have, what does God want you to want in your life? That was the question last week. And the second question was this, what do you need? What do you need to stop? I called Steve Curtis. He used to work for the Department of Streets, Pueblo Division. And I said, Steve, where can I find a stop sign? His wife knew where there was one, so thus we have a stop sign. You wouldn't believe this, but back in the day when I worked for the Board of Waterworks, Steve still worked for the Department of Streets, and I remember. What do you need to stop? There's some external things you need to stop if you're going to tell a story worth telling, and also there's some internal things that you need to stop. Some of you today maybe know there's something you need to stop externally. You know, for many back in the day, or maybe even today, you need to stop smoking. You need to stop doing drugs. And might I even say opioid drugs. There are many people, even in the church, who are in bondage to opioids. And God needs to set them free. He can. You need to stop looking at pornography. It's every man's battle. And might I even say every woman's battle. For me, it was none of the above. However, it was at a young age, freshman in college. Mark, you need to stop the party life. Y'all know about a party life? Let me see your hands real high. Come on, real high if you know about the party life. Aren't you thankful you stopped? You stopped getting drunk. I tell you what. Well, I can't meddle here, but I'll just tell you this. As a young high schooler, sophomore, high schooler, so probably 15, I had my first drink, and it made me a little happy. And I tried another one and it made me a little happier. I tried another one and I was like the happiest guy in the group. I had a little boldness. And this little 4'10" sophomore, 89 pounds, had a little boldness to scoot up close to a little chica. And the rest is history. I got my first kiss. And I put the two together. And so junior year, senior year, the party life ruled me. It wasn't until my freshman year in college, a friend invited me to a Bible study. And there again, you know the story, Matthew 7. I learned about the wide road, narrow road. And it changed the trajectory of my life and my story. But I will tell you that it wasn't until I opened the Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 5, Pastor Joseph. And it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these. And it listed all these sins. It says, drunkenness, of which I forewarn you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I thought, no, wait a minute, I'm a good Catholic boy. That was my only vice. I tell you how God was so merciful to me. I mean, I used to, just as a young kid, do the dumb things in the party life that I drank to where something came up out of my mouth. And not only that, something came up out of my mouth while I was in bed. And I could have died. I could have suffocated. But God was rich in mercy toward me. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved me. Aren't you thankful for that? But yeah, I knew I had to stop in order to tell my story. Others of you, you're mature enough to where you've stopped most of the dangerous external behaviors and don't sit back and go, oh, look how good I am. Right? Let me tell you, there's also some internal things that we need to stop. And I would argue all day long that the most dangerous force in the world is not external, but it is our internal sin nature. You know what the Bible says, right? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Let me ask you, what's on the inside? Maybe that's why the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139 verse 24 and 25, search me, O God. And what a prayer. Examine me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any offensive way in me, any wicked way in me. I ask you this morning to seek God and choose just one thing that you have to stop, perhaps internally, a bad attitude. Complainers and gripers? And you know what? They fill church houses everywhere. Critical spirit? We need to stop tearing down each other, especially in the house of God. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. And we need to be careful about a critical spirit. Anger. Be careful with anger, because you know what? If it's pent up inside and you just all of a sudden one day have a temper tantrum and release it, you know what can happen? It could lead to domestic violence and you could end up in jail. Bible says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or on your anger. How about bitterness and unforgiveness? Bible says, let it be put away from you in Ephesians 4 and verse 31. And do you know how many people are in bondage and they don't have no story to tell? Because bitterness and unforgiveness has crippled their story. Let me just share a few things with you. I think that there are some little ideas I can give you about what to stop in order to tell your story. We need to stop allowing our cell phones to control us. Smartphones, sometimes I wonder, they are the biggest blessing or the biggest curse? Am I preaching? You grandmas, maybe you moms, you see this as such a big distraction in your children and your grandchildren's lives. And it's especially such a big distraction at the dinner table. How many of you ever told your children or your grandchildren, put that phone down? It's grandma time. I saw you raise your hand first. Put it in your kitchen. When the grandkids come over, tell them, look at, put that down. What does that sign say? I tell you, they could just become a great distraction. I don't know, what's all this? I want to get my good side. Come on, the Bible tells us we're to crucify self. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. You want people to see Jesus in you, not your beautiful smile or your beautiful shape or your beautiful makeup or your beautiful hair. And then there's addictions to social media. Again, greatest blessing, greatest curse. Facebook, could it be addicting? Can it ever be addicting? I'll tell you this much. If you're on Facebook more than your face is in this book, you better stop. Pinterest, someone once said, stop looking at others' Pinterest and get your own interest. There's some great ideas in Pinterest, I know. But I could tell you truthfully, we need to stop in order that God can really birth the story inside of us. Junk food addiction? No, I'm talking restaurant junk food addiction. I don't know why they make it so appealing and so good. I love Taco Bell. I've been eating Taco Bell since I was 15. And I attended that first party. I still love Taco Bell. Pepsi Cola addiction. Or Coca-Cola addiction. How are you ever going to live to tell a story if you're drinking a 12-pack of Pepsi Cola every day? Or might I say, a case. I've known some people, and maybe you are that person. Stop! I used to be the Diet Pepsi Cola. Tobacco, alcohol, drug, even over-the-counter drug addiction. Stop! Pornography addiction. God knows who you are. And if you're in this place, if you're going to live a story worth telling, decide to
stop.
Jeanette's going to be so proud of me. She's going to say, honey, they're never going to forget that message because you had an object lesson. Gambling. many people's lives and stories have been ruined because of their addiction to gambling? Spending. And credit card addiction. Stop. Put it away. Put it in your drawer. Tear it up. Cut it up. If you can't pay the balance at the end of the month, stop charging. If you're going to have a story worth telling, I'm done. All right. How are we going to have a story to tell? As we're telling, we said, fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. And I thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today and how He's at work. I look at every one of you and I could see how God is at work in you. It's beautiful, isn't it? And we have this promise from Philippians 1:7, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He's still working on me, but I'm thankful for that. But let me tell you what that verse, Hebrews 12:2, says in context. If you want to get the interpretation of that meaning, you've got to read what's before and what's after. So here it is, Hebrews 12:1 and 2. Can you see that from back there? Let's read it together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Do you get it? Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And you know why you can do this? Because Jesus went to the cross. And the Bible says, for consider him who endured such opposition of sinners, lest you grow weary in your heart and want to give up. Yeah. Don't give up. We're in a battle. And who's going to start the battle? You are, and I am. We're going to put that sign on the refrigerator, and we're going to recognize that it's the small disciplines that's going to create the big changes in our life so that we can have a big story to tell someday. Woo! That's good, Pastor. That's good, Pastor. I've got so many things I want you to know as your pastor to improve. And I know you do too. Let's seek God. Let's let Him be the author. Let's every day lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And let's let Him be the author. Let's live with no regrets. My story's not perfect, but guess what? God's not finished with me yet. And He's not finished with you yet, Grandma Grace. You're 90 plus years old. And you know what? He's still working on you. As much of an angel and as much of a woman of God as you are, and as much of a legacy that you've already left, I know you can say this, that He's still working. He's still at working on me. Hallelujah. Regret? Remorse? Pages and pages of life wasted and gone. But your story isn't finished yet. There's still time for edits and cuts. But before you start doing the right thing, sometimes you need to. I said you need to. We all. I said we need to. Doing the wrong things. Team, come on up. Let's go back to our big question. And this question You've got to answer this. If I continue down this path, be honest, totally honest, how will my story end? If you don't put that credit card away and stop using it, if you don't stop gambling and throwing money away, if you don't stop looking at that pornography in the middle of the night while everyone's asleep, if you don't stop that tobacco or that alcohol or that drug, how will your story end? If I don't stop that Pepsi Cola addiction, I'll tell you what, a lot of people that want to lose weight, if they'll just stop the Pepsi Cola addiction, I assure you, they'll probably lose 50 pounds in 1 year. Sugar, 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 sugar. Honestly, people who lose weight fast, it's because they just quit drinking liquid. It's liquid bread. Junk food? I'll tell you, where that really hits home for us in this church is just the Daniel fast. How I thank God for the Daniel fast, and I thank God for Rick and Jan Foreman giving me that book on fasting that speaks about eating only plant food and not food processed in a plant. Praise God. And this? Yeah. All of us. This little Apple computer goes with me everywhere. Would you stand with me? Our big idea, the decisions you make today will determine the stories you'll tell tomorrow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want you to be brutally honest with yourself and brutally honest with God. Nobody's looking around, but you know the Holy Spirit has His finger on you, and you know what you need to stop doing in order to live a story that's worth telling. If that's you and you know what that is that you need to stop doing, just one thing, I want you to raise your hand real high to the sky. I see hands going up all over the place. Praise God. I'll tell you what I'm most excited for is what the story will be in a month from now, or in 2 months from now, or in a year from now, or in 2 years from now. This church could become addictive to people who are looking for answers. Be ready always, AGF, to give an answer to every man who asks of the hope that's living within you. Because you know what? It's a battle, but guess what? You couldn't do it, but guess what? Christ in you helped you to do it. And whatever it is you need to stop doing, stop today. And then let it go to the next, and to the next, and to the next. And during this month that we're going through this series, I tell you what, I just see a skip. I see a smile. I just see something different about you, because you know what? This sermon series is working. Let's pray. Father, you saw the hands that went up, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives today. God, everyone has a story, and some who are so eager to tell their story because, God, you've been at work for many, many years now. And Father, perhaps there's someone in here that just needs to begin their story by saying yes to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need a Savior, and I come to you with a repentant heart. Come into my life and save me today. Begin the good work in me today. I just wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here today who for the first time would say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus to come into my heart and to begin the story that I want to tell in my future. Anybody? I'll assure you, if I was communicating this message to all of Pueblo, 120, 130,000 plus people, I think many hands would go up. But you know what? They're asleep. They need to stop sleeping and wake up and get to church, don't they? So, Father, I commit this message to you. Would you burn it in our hearts? In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Tell you what, God's at work in AGF right now. He's at work in every one of us. And I'm so excited about the story you're going to live to tell. You're going to share your story. Amen. God bless. I love you.
Thanks for listening. Come be a part of our family. For more information, visit us at agfpw.org.